Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of AI Unchained. I'm Jack, and as always, I'm joined by the ever-insightful Core. How are you doing today, Core?
Hey, Jack. Doing fantastic. I've been looking forward to today's show, especially considering the explosive headlines we've got lined up. We've got so much to dive into, from cutting-edge AI developments to some mind-boggling business shakeups.
Absolutely. And for all our listeners out there, if you love tech, AI, and a sprinkle of friendly debate, you're in the right place. Why don't we kick things off with the big one, CORR? The recent advancements in AI neural networks that have everyone buzzing.
Oh, yes, Jack. The latest breakthroughs from OpenAI and DeepMind have been nothing short of revolutionary. But rumor has it you have some strong thoughts on their implications for our future. Care to share?
You bet. I think we're at a pivotal moment where these advancements could redefine multiple industries, though not without some hefty ethical questions. But before we go too deep, what's your take on that wild news from the Web 3.0 sphere, specifically the latest crypto regulations?
The crypto conundrum. The new regulations could either stabilize the market or suffocate innovation. And you won't believe what some of the big players are saying. It's sparking quite the debate.
Well, saving that spicy debate for a bit later, let's also touch on some of the latest in the business world. The shakeups in the tech giants, layoffs and mergers, oh my, it's like a roller coaster ride out there.
Indeed, Jack. And there's a particularly fascinating angle regarding how these companies are doubling down on AI investments despite restructuring. But let's not give away all our best teasers just yet.
No way, wouldn't dream of it. All right, everyone, buckle up because we've got a thrilling episode ahead. AI breakthroughs, crypto chaos, business drama, it's all coming up next. Stay tuned.
And don't forget, folks, we love hearing your thoughts too. Make sure to join the conversation online and share your insights. Let's get unchained.
That's right, Core. Without further ado, let's get started. So, Care, let's talk about a big shout out to our guy, Pedro Sanchez Taraf. He's the hero who posted the clutch move in the comments. Huge deal, right?
Absolutely, Jack. I mean, imagine being the only one to figure out the winning play. That's some serious brilliance in play there. Hats off to Pedro.
For sure. But hey, let's pivot to something more technical. We've got some heavy refactoring going on in the Go 1.24 cryptography packages. They're aiming for FIPS 140-3 compliance, which is huge for security.
Yeah, go figure. FIPS compliance is no joke. It's what the US government uses to determine if a cryptographic module is secure enough. And getting this compliance without relying on third-party libraries like OpenSSL is impressive.
Right. So they've basically rewritten parts of the Go standard library to achieve this. Doing it all in pure Go. Now, that's a significant leap forward, wouldn't you say?
Totally. It means Go developers can now build secure apps without hopping through so many hoops. Before this, you had to use Google's boring crypto library, which wasn't widely supported. But now, with a native FIPS-compliant module, it's a game changer.
And Microsoft Go, on the other hand, decided to stick with their system libraries for FIPS compliance. They're using OpenSSL on Linux and CNG on Windows. Makes sense for them, given their internal policies.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a split strategy if you think about it. Go's going full native while Microsoft's maintaining that hybrid approach. Different strokes for different folks, I guess.
Speaking of compliance, enabling the FIPS settings is pretty straightforward in Go 1.24. You just set godbug equals FIPS 140 equals on at runtime determine FIPS compliant module. Simple, right?
Indeed. It's really democratizing cybersecurity for developers who might not have deep expertise in cryptography. Plus, the option to enforce strict compliance with godbug equals FIPS 140 equals only, essentially causing your app to panic if a non-compliant algorithm is used that's going above and beyond.
It's like having a seatbelt that screams at you if you're not buckled up. Keeps everyone on the straight and narrow. And let's not forget the preview support they're adding for macOS system libraries. That'll boost FIPS compliance on macOS too.
That's big for Mac users trying to keep up with these security standards. Microsoft is doing solid work there. But let's talk about the broader picture. How does this FIPS compliance change the game, in your opinion?
Well, it's making secure coding practices more accessible. Smaller projects and startups, which usually can't afford extensive third-party solutions, now have robust security tools built into the language they're using. It's a real leveler.
Absolutely. And moving on from security to a bit of finance and intrigue, how about Connor Grogan's claim to have potentially found a lead on Satoshi Nakamoto's identity?
Yeah, that was a bombshell. If Satoshi's really been linked to a centralized exchange like Cavertex that enforced strict KYC policies, it could be a huge breakthrough in uncovering Bitcoin's mystery man.
True. Although, what a wild ride it has been trying to uncloak the origin story of Bitcoin. Centralized exchanges linking Satoshi? That's almost like Batman showing up at a police station. Totally unexpected and out of character.
Haha. Great analogy. The thought that Satoshi might have interacted with an exchange requiring KYC seriously challenges the image of him as this privacy-obsessed entity.
Exactly. And with Cavertex being defunct, tracking down exact details might be tricky. But it's definitely a story to watch.
While we're on the topic of crypto, let's talk about President Trump's latest moves. I mean, launching a Finch venture with Bitcoin ETFs and pushing for strong crypto laws. Who saw that coming?
No kidding. His pro-crypto policies are shaking things up. He's really leaning into the digital asset space, and it's stirring the pot, both locally and internationally. It's all happening so fast.
Yeah, from promoting stablecoins to his team's push for crypto regulations, it's like a roller coaster. And the Senate promising to pass solid crypto bills within his first 100 days? That's ambitious.
Agreed. And this momentum might nudge other governments like the ECB to quicken their own crypto and digital currency initiatives. It's like a global crypto chess game.
Cryptography, finance, global policies, our plate's full today. C-O-R-R.
Couldn't agree more, Jack. And it's fascinating to see how all these elements interconnect. From intense code refactoring to geopolitical maneuvers, it's a thrilling time for tech and finance.
Well, here's to more thrilling updates next time. Let's keep our eyes peeled for what's next in this ever-evolving saga. So, Core, let's dive into this whole concept of reasoning models in AI. I feel like the term gets thrown around a lot, but what are we really talking about here?
Oh, absolutely, Jack. It's all about how AI models can process information in a step-by-step manner, much like a human going through their mental checklist. The tricky part is there's no universally accepted definition for reasoning models. They're like the Loch Ness monster of AI. Everyone talks about them, but no one's quite sure what they look like.
Exactly. It's fascinating and frustrating at the same time. Take OpenAI's O1 and O3 models, for instance. They're sort of mysterious because OpenAI keeps the technical details under wraps, but the buzz is that they use a blend of inference and training techniques that make them capable of incredibly complex reasoning tasks.
Right, and part of why they're so expensive compared to others like GPT-4o is because they likely leverage something called inference time scaling. This makes them super powerful, but also a bit heavy on the wallet when it comes to running them. You mentioned the term scaling earlier, Jack. Let's break that down quickly for our listeners.
Sure thing. In simple terms, scaling an AI is about making the model smarter, either by increasing the parameters during training or by using more sophisticated computation when the model is actually being used, or as we call it, inference time. It's like adjusting the engine or the turbo during the race to boost performance right on the spot.
And then there's DeepSeek R1, which is direct competition. It seems to be more cost-efficient during inference. It's like DeepSeek dove headfirst into making sure their models are expertly trained so they perform well without needing as much computational power on the fly. It's almost like they're playing chess, thinking several moves ahead while others might still be playing checkers.
That's a good analogy. Plus, with DeepSeek being more open about their methods, it provides a benchmark for others, including OpenAI. It forces everyone to step up their game. It's interesting to see how both companies balance cost, performance, and efficiency. Any thoughts on where AI and reasoning models is headed, Core?
I think we're going to see a lot more of these hybrid techniques, combining RLHF, supervised fine-tuning, and inference time scaling. It's like a cooking recipe that blends different styles to create the perfect dish. The difference will come down to who can do it more effectively and efficiently.
And speaking of efficiency, have you read that paper, Scaling LLM Test Time Compute Optimally Can Be More Effective Than Scaling Model Parameters? It's a game changer.
Oh, yeah, totally groundbreaking. It's one of those must-reads that makes you go, why didn't I think of that? The core idea is pretty simple yet profound. Instead of just making models bigger, we should be focusing on how to use them more efficiently during inference. It's like optimizing the pit stops in a car race rather than just adding more horsepower to the car.
Exactly. It reminds me of how innovative these companies are getting. Look at SkyT1 by that small team who trained a 32B model with just $450. That's less than an AI conference ticket. They're using techniques like distillation to keep costs down.
And distillation, for those who might not know, is like reducing a complex sauce. You take a big, powerful model and condense its knowledge into a smaller, more efficient one. It's a bit like getting a double shot of espresso instead of a whole pot of coffee.
Perfect analogy, Cor. But you know, while these advancements are impressive, the competition isn't just about tech efficiency. It's also a bit of a geopolitical chess game. Look at how DeepSeek's swift rise has shaken things up, even to the point where some governments are blocking their services due to security concerns.
True. AI is not just about who's got the best tech. It's also about trust and control. That's why transparency, like what DeepSeek is doing, can be a double-edged sword. They gain trust, but also face scrutiny. And don't you think it also reflects on how companies like OpenAI respond to market pressures?
Absolutely. It's a delicate dance, balancing innovation with privacy and efficiency. We're on a wild ride, and it'll be fascinating to see who leads the charge. But back to reasoning models, one thing is clear. The more transparent and open our approach, the faster we can innovate and improve.
Agreed. It's all about learning from each other. And on that note, it'll be interesting to see how OpenAI and DeepSeek handle the coming AI explosion, especially with models getting smarter and more capable every day. Let's keep our eyes peeled for more updates.
So, Cor, we've been talking about reasoning models and how essential they are for tasks that involve multiple steps and intermediate thoughts. But here's where it gets interesting, thinking about when these models are actually needed. I mean, do we really need a reasoning model for every little decision-making task?
Great point, Jack. Let's break it down. Imagine you're using a chatbot for customer service, for a basic query, answering like, what are your operating hours? A simple information retrieval model works. No need for complex reasoning there. But if the customer asks, how do I troubleshoot a device that's not turning on? Now we're talking about troubleshooting steps, understanding user instructions, and perhaps following a diagnostic flow. This is where reasoning models shine.
Exactly. This is what TinyZero is hinting at in their ongoing research. They're still working on the finer details, but it's pretty compelling. The challenge lies in distinguishing simple tasks from those requiring actual multi-step reasoning. It's like comparing what's 2 plus 2 to how does compounding interest work over 10 years given a 5% annual rate? The latter needs processing multiple steps and using various pieces of information.
Plus, don't forget boundary conditions, especially for more complex simulations or variable inputs. If we're coding with something like Scala, for instance, managing these transitions smoothly becomes crucial. These intermediate steps enable finer control and more accurate outputs, which you'd expect in more advanced reasoning tasks.
And speaking of Scala, that's a beast of its own when talking about logic and reasoning and programming. Remember that migration effort to Scala 3 and how it improved type validation, even though it was invasive?
Oh yeah, Jack. The new opaque types really cut down on runtime costs. But the transition wasn't easy. We had to deal with partially implemented libraries, write macros, and ensure everything compiled faster. And let's not forget the debugging journey. Imagine spotting slow compile times just because of some outdated tools.
That's the perfect segue. Complexity doesn't just apply to Q&A, it's embedded in code transitions, app logic, and reasoning. And on that note, how about the modules for parsing reasoning in high-level systems versus natural extensions in AI models for those cases?
That's why building and improving LLMs, large language models, for reasoning is a huge endeavor. We need more than just higher accuracy in answering, what's the capital of France? We're looking at models that can string together coherent steps, like calculating a route with multiple stops or even diagnosing a series of health symptoms.
And let's be real, Cor. Everyone thinks autonomous cars rely solely on straightforward AI, but it's reasoning models behind the scenes making these multifaceted decisions on the fly. Tesla's approach of relying just on cameras is intriguing, but quite risky, don't you think?
True. While it dramatically simplifies some layers, the reasoning part, like predicting pedestrian movement or understanding complex traffic scenarios, adds layers of complexity. These are the layers where our reasoning models step in with complex, multi-step decision-making.
Moving from cars to the big talk on decentralized finance, DeFi, remember Avstride under regulatory sites? Here's another playground for reasoning models, right? Assessing risks, predicting market moves, all that jazz.
Definitely. DeFi protocols like Aave aren't just running some simple algorithms. They're processing tons of financial data, predicting outcomes, and making decisions based on multiple variables. It's like balancing on a knife's edge between compliance and innovation.
And that balancing act is something even larger traditional markets envy. The finesse required is straightforward yet incredibly intricate when scaling to diverse user actions. Just thinking of Lil Durk's NFT ventures facing legal mazes, reasoning models could probably navigate those better than typical legal eagles.
Haha, you're not wrong. Legal, financial, even gaming, all these sectors are seeing a surge in applying complex reasoning for better results. And let's not forget the tangible impact this has when integrated seamlessly. Take the user experience in gaming where real-time decisions matter.
Absolutely. And let's imagine if these models could predict whether taking a risk pays off or if a subtle strategic shift shifts the game's tide. From code to logic, real-world apps, it's all interconnected through these high-level reasoning models.
Imagine the next innovation combining advanced reasoning with real-time deployment. It'd be like having a supercharged assistant that makes split-second decisions, adaptively learning from outcomes. That's the future we're heading towards, and these reasoning models are paving the way.
Looks like whether it's AI, DeFi, or even autonomous driving, everything's pointing to one thing. Multi-step reasoning isn't just a buzzword. It's the backbone of modern intelligent systems.
Too right, Jack. And as these models evolve, it'll be even more exciting to see how they redefine decision-making in all facets of technology and business.
So true, Core. Well, let's not keep our listeners waiting. We should dive deeper into how these models are built next.
Can't wait, Jack. Let's go for it.
You know, Core, there's something really fascinating about the process Musiri's brought up. The whole idea of how the review board assesses the risks of disclosing a zero-day vulnerability. It's almost like playing a twisted game of whack-a-mole, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the fact that there is no reliable formula, even for a giant like Microsoft, just shows how complex the landscape is. Think about it, Jack. Even if you know which clients are using that vulnerable code, it's a whole different ballgame trying to track down all those third-party resellers and integrators. It's like trying to count the number of chocolate chips in a giant cookie.
Haha, yeah, but instead of just eating the cookie, they have to make sure it doesn't blow up in their faces. No wonder she finds it troubling. I mean, it's the critical infrastructure we're talking about here. Medical devices, banking systems. One misjudgment, and it could be catastrophic.
Right? And then you add in the political dynamic, like what just happened with the GSA and the spoon emoji protest. It's like a subplot from a political drama. The government removing emojis as a part of a protest against a resignation offer. It's both hilarious and grand at the same time. The fork email. Didn't Elon Musk pull a similar stunt at Twitter?
Oh yeah, he titled it Fork in the Road too. It's almost like these tech giants and government agencies are trying to outdo each other in a game of who's got the quirkiest way of managing resignations. What's next? A digital pitchfork emoji revolt?
Don't give them any ideas. But seriously, it's worrying how digital expressions can become a medium for serious political and employment dispute. It's a reminder of how intertwined our digital lives are with real-world consequences.
That's spot on. And speaking of digital intertwining, how about Presto raising $15 million to build the Stripe of EV charging? That's another area where technology is revolutionizing infrastructure. It's clear that the drive for innovation won't hit the brakes anytime soon.
Yes, and think about the ripple effects. EV infrastructure not only impacts consumers, but also aligns with broader environmental goals. Presto's seed round success shows how viable and necessary this sector is becoming. It's a pivotal time for startups in the clean tech space.
And then there's Tesla's ambition of creating a digital duplicate of the human visual cortex and brain function. It sounds like something straight out of a sci-fi novel. Imagine if they actually pull it off. How would that impact everything from medical science to gaming?
For sure, the implications are huge. But let's steer this convo back to something more immediate, Kiriwoo's health and its digital patient experiences. Enhancing member engagement and compliance with provider directory accuracy regulations, this is something that's transforming healthcare as we speak.
Exactly, and the data shows it. Like Intermountain Health's early adoption of Reach seeing a 42% increase in appointments booked through Google Reserve in just 2 months. That's not just a statistical boost, it's actual people accessing healthcare more effectively.
Right, and it's these tangible results that make digital innovations so compelling. But it's not all smooth sailing. Remember the outage that hampered Trudeau's staff from coordinating before Trump's tariff threat? These are real glitches that can have major fallout.
Definitely, and it's these unpredictable elements that make this field so challenging and exciting. But hey, speaking of unpredictable, let's not forget about Paysafe exploring a sale after getting takeover interest. The fintech world is always rife with surprises.
Indeed. And on the topic of surprises, what about Mombasa Sengwa's sudden resignation? Moves like these can shake up a company's trajectory in ways that are hard to predict. It's like a well-plotted thriller. Just when you think you know it's coming, there's a new twist.
Yeah, betting on upcoming fintech trends might feel a bit like those five gamblers from Bloomberg Business Week. You win some, you lose some, but you've got to stay in the game if you want to see how it all unfolds.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's about that community aspect, just like in sports gambling. It's not just about the money, but also about maintaining relationships and staying connected, which in a way mirrors how these business and tech ecosystems function.
Well said, Cor. And speaking of communities, how about the news on China potentially probing Apple's policies? That's a whole different battleground there.
Definitely. It's another layer of complexity. Companies navigating global markets have to be adept at handling multiple fronts: regulatory, customer loyalty, technological innovation. It's like they're juggling while tightrope walking.
And while we're on the subject of complex regulations, what about the proposed laws for NFTs and digital assets? It's crucial that lawmakers find a sensible framework. Digital assets are here to stay, and the rules need to catch up to keep things orderly and fair.
Exactly. It's all about finding that balance, protecting consumers without stifling innovation. I think the next few years are going to be pivotal in shaping the landscape for digital assets and how they integrate into our everyday lives.
Agreed. And before we move on, let's not overlook the blend of digital and real-world opportunities presented by platforms like Metropolis World. It's like a next-gen merging of creativity and commerce driven by digital currency CLI.
It'll be interesting to see how this ecosystem evolves, connecting virtual ownership with real benefits. The strategic investors backing Metropolis show that there's a lot of faith in this direction. It's the wild west of the digital frontier.
You said it, Cora. Every development is a new chapter in this ongoing saga of technology, business, and politics. And trust me, I'm here for every plot twist and cliffhanger.
And on that note, let's pivot back to our main discussion. Ready to dive into the next topic on the agenda?
Well, folks, that brings us to the end of another dynamic episode of AI Unchained. We covered a lot of ground today, from the latest breakthroughs in artificial intelligence to the ever-evolving landscape of business and politics.
Absolutely, Jack. It's exciting to see how rapid advancements in AI are influencing industries across the board. That debate on ethical AI was especially engaging. You always know how to keep me on my toes.
You bet, Cor. It's all about healthy debate and bouncing ideas off each other. And let's not forget our discussion on the political implications of tech. Who knew we'd both end up quoting sci-fi movies to make our points?
Laughing. Yeah, who knew, right? But it just goes to show, sometimes the best insights come from the most unexpected places. Plus, we always have a good laugh along the way.
And of course, we can't forget to thank our fantastic audience. You guys are the reason we do this, and your support keeps us going strong.
Exactly. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're a loyal listener, we appreciate each and every one of you. Keep those questions and comments coming. We love hearing your thoughts.
Remember, the conversation doesn't end here. Let's keep it going on social media. We're always ready to hear your take and continue these discussions.
So on that note, thank you for joining us today on AI Unchained. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and gained some valuable insights.
Stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay unchained. See you next time.
Bye for now.
Catch you later.